colleges for us in voc rehab. Elena covers the northern half of the state. Christiana covers the southern half of the state. And we also have Jolene Nemeth, who specializes a little bit more in JAWS training and computer training than doing assessments, you know, but she, you know, kind of mixes in as well doing some of the technology. We also had our transition counselor who covers the north part of the northern part of the state, Stacey Ann Lewis. She started working at BESB in 2001, I want to say. I was looking at that recently. So she started in 2020 during the pandemic, worked for about a year or so at BESB and left and went to another state agency and has since now came back. So she is back since the end of July, beginning of August is when she started back, and she is our transition, pre-employment transition counselor covering the northern part of the state. In October, we hired a transition counselor to cover the southern part of the state. Her name is Paula Rivers. She is down in the southern part reporting to New Haven, and she has taken over working with the southern part of the state. So that, as of today, makes us full staff, you know, which is, you know, except for the secretary positions that are coming up. But as far as counselor and field staff, we are where we should be. We can't say that for very long, and I've said it for a few meetings now since October, although we have had people out on leave, but today everybody's here. So we are, as we speak today, full staff. Carol alluded to this in her discussion, but when we were at the NCSAB, the conference for individual, like it specializes in blind, the National Council for State Agencies for the Blind, is done in collaboration with CSAVR, so they're back-to-back. But what NCSAB does is it breaks out the blind agency's performance measures. Each year our agency has to report on 6 performance measures, although they're only counting 5 of the 6 right now. You know, we report on that as a state, you know, with BRS. But when they break down the blind agencies, they do what they call the leaderboard. So we met the leaderboard in 3 of the 5 different performance measures. We were number 1 in the country for blind agencies in credential attainment. We were tied in number 2 for employment second quarter after exit, and we were 3rd in employment fourth quarter after exit. So we're really happy about that. We, you know, they put it all up at the conference and break it down by every state agency, you know, VR agency in the country. So we met 3 out of the 5 for the leaderboard. So that was good. Another thing we've done. We've had a lot of discussion and, you know, focus, like Carol also talked a little bit about that, redoing our, you know, outreach materials and just getting, you know, as you know, many referrals into voc rehab as we possibly can and as far as the agency. So one of the things that we've done in voc rehab in the last couple of years is we've redone our entire referral process. There's a couple different strategies to why we did this, and so far so good is we'll end up taking a lot of individuals into our program that maybe aren't necessarily the best candidates for voc rehab. Sometimes we go through the process of finding them eligible, and sometimes we just close them out, which has resulted in a lot of paperwork, first of all, but also a lot of closures for individuals unsuccessfully coming into voc rehab. So this is a way that we can kind of prevent that from happening, hopefully, going forward. We just did it in the last month, so we don't really have a lot of, you know, data yet to show. But definitely the referrals have been down since we've done it, so I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. But that might just be because we are getting who we should be getting, so maybe our program needs to be smaller. But we created what we are calling the JOT forms. It's an accessible format for individuals to fill out. So we have put that on our website. you know, for individuals who want to talk to somebody from Voc Rehab or find out more information just about VESB in general, even though it's basically a Voc Rehab focus at this point, you know, to, you know, kind of encourage individuals coming in asking about the program. You know, when it we haven't got a lot of foot traffic on our website, so we're looking at that, but we did get a couple inquiries. Both were not Voc Rehab, are blind, you know, they were not for individuals who are blind. They were for BRS, you know, which is fine because that means that people are looking at our website. So that wasn't necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, so we're looking at that as far as the foot traffic and doing all of, you know, hopefully working towards getting, you know, more of our program out there in outreach. We also have this form internally. So when, one of our social workers or staff really from Adult Services has an individual who wants to hear more about Voc Rehab, they'll fill out this form and then they'll be assigned a VR counselor to call them to discuss VR and maybe, is this going to be a good program for you or not? You know, with the goal, as I said, being more that we're looking to have more appropriate referrals coming into Voc Rehab to avoid closing out, you know, many individuals that we have. So, you know, because a lot of times the social workers will refer over and then we do that and then it's all this paperwork. So this is kind of an attempt to, you know, bring in more referrals into the program. And internally, we've gotten quite a few inquiries. So I'll send them along to staff and say, can you call this person? Let them know what we offer and see if they're appropriate or not. So, you know, I also mentioned the state plan, which Carol already mentioned that that's due coming up. So we're working on our new 2024, you know, state plan for the next 4 years. Some of the next category I kind of jumped into is, you know, just some of the events. You know, it's kind of notable. The board members had asked me to write some of the trainings. I usually like to do some of our outreach activities and some of our events that we do. So I separated the two. You know, this year, you know, National Employment for Disability Month is always in October. So it was again in October this year. And I would say we probably had a record number of events and outreach activities. So they're definitely noteworthy to mention everything we did during the month of October. Some started in September, some carried into November because that's how many events we did. It was a lot, you know, it's almost like post-COVID. We, a lot of agencies have just, we're back in person, let's do events. And that is what we're experiencing. It's continuing. So I'm on a lot of planning committees and we're trying to space a lot of these events out. So some are going to be in May. We're even doing some April, you know, some in September now. So we're not getting flooded. A lot of agencies like to do this because they want to do, they want to honor National Employment with Disability Month. Some of them are still going to fall in October. There's not much we can do. But, you know, just to name, you know, the list, you know, again, not all of them fell in the month of October, but a lot did. There was a National Employment Summit. This was put on by, you know, a two-day summit. This was in September. This was put on by CSAVR, that it's the National Employment Team. Through CSAVR puts on a two-day training in D.C. For networking with employers, and it's basically all about employment. The entire summit was about employment. I went. It was actually a great summit. Then we had another event at the end of September, Disability Employment Services Conference. It was an outreach activity that was put on by BRS, the Bureau of Rehab Services, in collaboration with us. We had a table, but it was pretty much their event, but we had an outreach table and had a bunch of our clients as well as staff attend this event. There was the Bureau of Special Education 20th Annual Back to School Resilience, Renewed Accountability and Results was the name of the conference. That was a full-day conference that we had staff attending that as well. We had our transition staff have a table there to speak about VESB services. There was a resource fair held in Hartford at Neat Marketplace in October. I think probably our entire Voc Rehab staff attended, along with some of our adult services staff. a lot of VESB staff and ADS staff, I should say, aging and disability staff. It was a great event, kind of showing all the resources available to our clients in, it's pretty much state of Connecticut, but focusing a little bit more in the Hartford area. We did have clients attend as well. There was also a week before a resource fair in the Bridgeport through the American Job Center. Very similar setup, a little bit different. You know, all our AJCs run a little bit differently. I should add the resource fair in Hartford is in collaboration with us, VRS, and the American Job Center. So that's the same as this one. They're all put on by the American Job Centers in collaboration with ADS and DDS and some other agencies as well. So so it's almost like they replicated that one in Bridgeport that they do in Hartford. It was done a little bit differently, but equally as informative and great. They actually, I would say the difference between the two, because I went to both, it was the one in Bridgeport had a lot of employers available, you know, where the one in Hartford's a little bit more services available. So they kind of had a room of employers at the Bridgeport one. So it was a well done, less planned. The timing of planning it was not as long, but they pulled it off and did a very good job. They plan to do it again next year. We are working with the Workforce Council in collaboration with the Department of Developmental Services, Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. There's a typo on there's supposed to be an H in there, DMIS, the American Job Centers and the Bureau of Rehab Services. We're all working in collaboration. This has been a long, you know, committee. I think it's been about a year in the making. So we did, we're calling it No Wrong Door. So there, we did a couple presentations. We did one in October and one in September, and they had about 100 attendees each. So this was a virtual outreach activity, and there was a variety of individuals invited. It was, you know, agencies, providers, just both of them just had a lot of attendees coming. We tried to send it out as far and wide. I would say the first one, we had zero questions about VRS and BESB, but the second one we had a ton. So it definitely depended on, I think, who was attending the different groups, because they were identical. We did them identical. So that was a good outreach activity. We're going to be continuing this, council No Wrong Door going into the next year. We're not done. We're creating a resource manual for all the American Job Centers. We're doing another outreach event coming up in February. We're going to try to do an in-person one. So that's an active committee. That came out of, I guess, the Workforce Council. So we also did another outreach event in honor of National Employment with Disability Month with the Epilepsy Foundation. We did this with our agency. They asked us to come and speak about our services. So we did this in collaboration with BRS, and the Department of Aging was also on this outreach activity. And as a result, we did get a referral from that one. So that was less attended than the other two. We probably had about 25 participants, though. So it was, relatively well attended. And then for everyone who did not see segment on NBC TV for Jonathan Richmond, he spoke about VESB VR services. So that was right around the resource event. I know Dave Dokas was also, I believe, on TV, which I did not see him, but he was also interviewed. That was a different segment about ADS services and BRS. But Jonathan had his own slot, and he talked a lot about VESB and vocational services. And as a result, we got a few referrals from that as well. So that was, on, I think, twice on the NBC on channel, NBC channel, different times during, then we sent around the link. So that was a great, nice PR that we had. We went to CSAVR and NCSAB. We already talked about that. Carol talked about that as well, which was a great event. It was in Savannah, Georgia this year, and it was their back-to-back conferences, and that ended up being a great event. Carol and I both went. There was a Capacity Building Institute Back to Work event that happened in September. This is a statewide committee that we are on that actually had a conference back in May, and it's continuing with state goals for, you know, through the Department of Ed, through DDS is involved. A lot of different players are in this, what they're calling the Capacity Building Institute. We have a couple people on that for Voc Rehab. I was on it for a little bit. I attended the conference back in May, but I passed that torch over to our transition staff. There's a bunch of staff from BRS also on there, you know, who are we're collaborating with as far as the VR piece. But as a result of this institute, they create state goals for Voc Rehab, you know, that State Department of Bureau Service, you know, Bureau Special Services, or whatever bureau is the one taking the lead on that one. So she creates, Alyssa Trakis, whoever doesn't know who she is, but she creates the entire state goal for us. So we've been active in that recently. The Blindness Equality Day, which we talked about a little bit, you know, we actually ended up helping out with that by having a pre-employment transition services panel. I unfortunately was not able to attend the event, but from what I hear, it went very well. Our students did a good job, and a lot of people asked a lot of questions. So let's see. We also have increased our events that we've been doing for our pre-employment transition services. So we've done 4 virtual events on advocacy and financial planning, which is our which is a big focus in our state plan, along with a big focus from RSA, to be able to provide these services to our students, our pre-employment students, as those were both very well attended. I believe they had about 12 individuals at each. These were virtual, and there was a lot of them. They were, you know, four or six, you know, sessions in each of them. There, one was in September and one was in October. In addition to that, we also had a mentor day event. This was in person. It was a 2-day event for students and mentors in Wallingford. We hired out a vendor to conduct this event, and it was very successful. We've got a ton of feedback on that event. You know, we plan to do that again next year. There was a lot of different, you know, mentors and mentees that were able to come. Next year, we're going to try to increase the number of mentors. It was a little bit more difficult to get the mentors to attend, but we ended up getting a pretty decent amount of individuals participating in that. An event that we did a blindness sensitivity training to the community rehabilitation providers. One was, you know, one of the ones in the southern part or the eastern part of the state and southern part of the state, Southeastern Employment. So that went well. That was a few months ago, but it was, you know, a very, you know, well-run event. We had help from our Adult Services Division. Our Orientation and Mobility instructors came and did a presentation. So we plan to do more of those events coming up in the future. We are going to be doing a lot of our community rehab provider trainings through in collaboration with the Bureau of Rehab Services, but these are specific towards blindness, so we do our separate ones to focus on blindness. So that's it. That was a lot. That was only in a few months. So, you know, especially, you know, like I said, coming back after, you know, a few years of not doing in-person events, we were at one event after the next, and they were all great. They were all, you know, well received. We definitely need our outreach materials, but we managed and we survived, you know. It kind of helps because we usually do have, you know, BRS next to us. So sometimes it's like, okay, no, you go over there for the blind, no, you go over there to BRS. So that it worked out perfectly, you know, that we were able to highlight that we are individuals working for, I mean, we are the agency working for individuals who are blind. But going forward, having more outreach materials will definitely help us. So one of the things that was asked that I present is some of the trainings that our staff go to. I wasn't sure necessarily the context of them, but what I just listed are really more events and outreach activities. So I'm just going to list some of the trainees that some of our staff. I asked them to make sure I do keep track of that, but I asked them to, let me know some of the things they did. And a lot of them, more than one staff member had, participated in, but I did not list the staff members. I just listed what can give you an idea of some of the trainings that we go to. We had a training in Vermont. It was a 2-day training on program evaluation and quality assurance. We had a staff member attend that. That is through a technical assistance center through the Rehab Service Administration. I should start off by saying our funding source, Rehab Service Administration, funds a lot of these technical assistance centers. They're throughout the entire state of Connecticut with different colleges or universities that are running these technical assistance centers. And they're all different. Some are quality assurance, some are for pre-ed, some are for, they specialize in different areas. So when I say the technical assistance center, that's what I'm referring to, because we did a lot of those in the last few months. There was Demis put on a job accommodation network. It was a virtual training, very good training for accommodations for individuals with disability. We had a couple staff go to, this is also online through Perkins, an iOS accessibility for users who are visually impaired. We have a couple of our technologists attending that. It's a series training. There was a Topaz OCR training that a couple of our technologists attended through Freedom Scientific. We had a self-employment, who, what, where, and how to close, also through RSA's Technical Assistance Center virtual. We had a few staff attend that. There was a Windmills Disability Awareness Training that was put on through our American Job Center in collaboration with APSVE, which is a board that I'm on. So that they did that twice. One of them was yesterday. I attended part of the one yesterday. And there was also one in September. A lot of our staff attended that training. It was a very good staff. It was a very good training. There was an ADA mini-com on ADA basics. That was a virtual training that a few of our staff participated in. The organization that gave that was Trans Center. I don't know much about it. I looked it up. I was like, what is this agency? But it was a great, I didn't attend that one, but the staff who did said it was great. We had a WIOA performance accountability training, which is a 2-day, all-day training for all of our staff through the technical assistance quality assurance program that they came in person to BESBE. So we all attended that. Everybody in Voc Rehab attended that training. That was also a very good training. Bridging the Gap, Encouraging Equity and Registered Apprenticeships for new Neurodiverse Youth and Adults. Sorry, it's like a mouthful. So we had a couple staff attend that training. We had Working with Transition Aid Youth with Disabilities and Ethical Considerations when Working with Hispanic Immigrants. I'm just going to kind of like and not explain them because I don't want to be here all day. Celebrating Accomplishments in Building an Inclusive Tomorrow, Increasing Access and Equity for Individuals who are Blind and Deafblind. We have a pre-employment community of practice that's held every 6 weeks that we have staff on that provides training, and we have presenters come. So it's basically a training, but it's also a community of practice. And then there's a list of required trainings. That this is true of all ADS employees, that they have to take Ethics 101, Workplace Diversity Inclusion Training, CHRO, Sexual Harassment Prevention Training, Workplace Violence Preventer, Responding to the Active Killer, Domestic Violence and Legal Protections Training, and Security Awareness Training. Those are all required for all staff. So that's the trainings. And then I was also asked to provide a list of individuals' jobs that we closed this year. We had 97 individuals that were closed successfully employed, which is back to pre-COVID numbers, which we were very thrilled this year. It was definitely, this is where we were at in 2019. That's been a good accomplishment, especially considering we are closing out a lot of people unsuccessfully, and we had no staff. So their focus is where it needs to be. So, which is great. We're helping people get jobs. And the average wage, which I thought was pretty noteworthy, we didn't hit the leaderboard in the medium wages, but we do have a very high average wage. The average wage that we closed was $28.58. So $28.58 is the average wage for individuals that were closed out in our program, which is very high, for nationwide as far as in employment. So, and our hours were 31 hours. That was the average hour, hourly, number of hours that individuals work. So I don't know if you want me to go through the entire list. I have it. It's up to you guys. I could go really quickly, but I listed all the jobs that individuals had. I could just kind of highlight them for sake of time, and then you guys can go back and look. But we had everything from accountants, financial manager, marketing clerk, receptionist, special ed teacher, tax examiner, teacher assistant, telemarketer, fitness trainer. The titles of jobs are all over the place, if you want me to, I can list them. I listed the non-duplicated job titles. There are
if
some that have more than
one. Spreadsheet, Mary, that'd be okay.
Yeah, yep, I did. I put it to, I attached it to my update. So it's in my update that you should all get. So yeah,
excellent.
So I figured.
Okay, good.
I don't know if you guys want me to just go one by one, but yeah. So basically what that shows you is there's a, it's not just one job that individuals are in. It's a lot.
I think we captured the essence of it. I think that should do. We can read the rest.
Perfect. That's it.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you for a thoroughgoing report, Mary. That was very good. I do have a couple of questions for you. Would you be able to send us a link of the interview that Jonathan did? Because I think that would be really, really good for us to see.
And definitely, yes.
Kudos to Jonathan for that. That's a really good get.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about is how well attended was the CSABR and CSAB this year?
It was pretty well attended. It was probably we had a financial conference in the last one, which was in April, which was record number, I think, right? It was
no
like
kidding.
550. I don't think it was that high, but I would say it was well over 300 to 400.
Yeah.
But we're very well attended. And even NCSAB had probably about 100 people there.
Really? That's very good.
It's been, since we've come back from COVID, just explosion of participants. Hard to get into, hotels.
Oh, I can imagine,
And I think it was actually the spring one. I don't think it was this one where they closed registration. Like, you couldn't register.
Oh, okay.
It was like getting too many people. But I don't think it was that case this time. But
that's incredible. Does CSAVR still stick to pretty much the same agenda that it always has, where it discusses things like legislation and what the organization is doing to promote its activities? And
I don't know, Carol, you can also add to this. I feel like there's always themes, that CSAVR seemed to kind of carry, which was definitely the financial management in the spring. I would think, this year that it was rapid engagement, like getting people eligible quicker, seemed to really be the focus. Although they do a lot of different breakout sessions. So I went to one that was an apprenticeship, that type of thing. But RSA does not speak as much as they did in the past.
Oh, all right.
As far as, the breakup of RSA. That's just my opinion over the years, but they did speak. We do have a new commissioner. I don't know if what's that, Don? We do have the name handy.
I just saw the announcement the other day. Yeah. It's Dante someone or other.
But it's been a few years since there's been a. And then our acting commissioner of RSA, she had COVID, and then she was like,
oh, no kidding,
hit by a car, which is not good at all, but she was relatively okay. Unfortunately, so there's a bunch of people who kind of spoke on her behalf, but
Yeah.
I would say it's changed over the years. In the fall, in the spring, they did not go to the hill like they have in the past.
Oh, really?
They're going to be bringing that back. Oh, no, nope, not at all.
That to me was one of the highlights of the entire get together, because it's a great opportunity to actually speak with people who influence legislation.